What it is, man. How you doing?
Man, I'm good, dude. I was just thinking about when we were up in Alaska at the Kenai Wildlife Refuge, and we were doing the Canoe Lake trails. We were a couple lakes into the trail, and
Rainbow Lake, right?
No, we camped on Rainbow Lake, but the Canoe Lake Trail was whatever. We portaged to the next couple of lakes, right?
Oh, okay.
And you hooked into that fish, right? And
it was so small. Let's be honest.
But like, so I see you, like, you're amped, right? You got this adrenaline pumping through your body, right? You and Adam in the canoe, and you're like literally reeling so fast that the fish is skimming across the surface of the water.
Tiny fish.
It wasn't that tiny. It was incredible. I was like, what the hell? You're like, all right, anyway, so you tell Adam, who isn't much of a fisherman, like, get the net out, and here's how you're going to net the fish, right? And like, here comes the fish like a torpedo at the canoe, because you're just like,
it's going for the knockout.
So Adam misses the fish with the net, right? Everybody does it, right? And like, you turn into my grandfather, and you're like, I'm going to tell you this one time.
Poor Adam, dude.
I know. Adam was like, I don't know if I ever want to go fishing with you. I was like, you were about to get it, Adam. You're almost there. You had.
We lost the fish, and I was really excited because at that point we were down to fish eating, bro. But
yeah, but the fish we were eating was Alaskan halibut.
That's true. True. And then we had a couple salmon there. Well, okay. All right. On my defense, we decided to go fishing after we had already been in the canoe for 9 days with each other. So things probably were a little bit amped up between all the other shit that we have been doing. And I promise you this is that Adam, by that point, was so done with Post Malone that he probably was like, fuck the world.
Dude, he was. But I'll never forget the image of that fish just skimming across the top of the water as you're reeling it in as fast as you can. I think I'm exaggerating, but it was crazy, dude. There was some reasons that I wasn't seeing things exactly straight, but yeah.
Dude,
so
you know what? I'm gonna jump in there, because like, I want to say this is that, like, sometimes for me at least, right, I get caught up in the moment and I try to do things quickly, you know, and not enjoying the moment. You know, like, it's like, how badly do I want this nut? You know, like, I just, sometimes you just got to enjoy it, right? You said one time to me, and I love using this as an example, because the truth is here is that sometimes you're in a hurry just to roll a blunt. And sometimes you got to take your time to mold a blunt. And that's in life. You know, like, sometimes you just got to take your time. And so when I watch this, I love how I'm going to transition from blunts to the Oklahoma City Thunder right here, guys, right? So I love listening to the Oklahoma City Thunder and what's happening right now. Because if you watch it and you're watching how it's built, everything has been done patiently and well thought out beforehand. Like, to get to this point where we are now, it's taken years of discipline and proper drafting and proper insight and proper movements in order to get to this point. And Sam Presti has done a phenomenal job at it, and it's really exciting.
Hell yeah, it's exciting. And I mean, look, there's a lot of talk right now. I don't know if anybody else, like, a few hours ago, LeBron and JJ Redick's new podcast dropped, right? I haven't listened to each one of them, and that is, to me, that's admitting more than I should right now. But I was listening to this new one about the playoffs, and it just feels like, you know, there's so much talk about the mental side of it. You know what I mean?
And yeah, sure.
I understand why, especially now. You know, this is all happening, but I wonder, like, right now, the Thunder has this, like, people are almost like giving them a pass at the one seed. I saw, what's his name? Shannon Sharp said something about the Thunder being the weakest number one seed in recent memory or in a long time. And I understand, like, this kind of what this perspective that people have, but I wonder if it's proven wrong, right? Are they going to give the Thunder credit for the right reasons? Right. If we go on to win, are they going to look at it and say, okay, yeah, they were a better team, but they were also mentally better, right? Or are they just going to say, oh, like, they faced a team that wasn't at their best, or they faced, you know, LeBron, or obviously it's not going to be LeBron, probably it's probably going to be a Nuggets team that, you know, for whatever reason, weren't clicking at the same level as they were last year. What is it that they're going to come up with excuses for versus the actual reality of, you know, what we're seeing here on this team? And I have to admit, I think even amongst the people who know the NBA, what the Thunder are going to do in the playoffs is going to surprise people. Because
sure,
as much as you want to talk about, well, the regular season is the regular season, and the pressure increases with every possession in the postseason, watching a team
sure.
that plays freely while also taking care of the ball is unusual for the playoff situation. And playing freely is the most difficult thing to do when the pressure rises, but it also becomes more important than ever before. Because if you play tense under the pressure, then you're almost useless. And that's why rosters like shrink in the playoffs and they go eight deep. It's because like, somebody plays tense now and half their skill sets are useless. So you've got to find the players that play within rhythm. And that's when you look at things like Coach Daigneault's rotations, the depth chart, the way that he utilizes players sometimes, and he keeps his, the minutes that players are going to get unpredictable off the bench, and then the starters, how he makes sure he maximizes what they're getting every minute out there. And also they have more left in the tank. But ultimately, playing a high-quality defense and playing low-turnover basketball are really, really the most important things that you can, if you can do that while still playing, being yourself, you'll be just fine.
Yeah. Man, I agree. Being yourself and you'll be just fine. And I want to, Mark, I don't know how I did this, but I started a live. So we've done how many shows without starting a live? So now we're live. El Sombra, Keelan, welcome, guys. El Sombra, I saw that you wrote on Twitter, but we are so not active on Twitter. The only time I find myself looking at Twitter is, you know what? We'll talk about that one later. But I think it's really great that you guys are still commenting on stuff for us because we appreciate it. Yeah.
If the quality is good here, let us know. I'm interested to know because we have had a lot of trouble with it right now. It looks like it's doing fine. But we'll stay with the point, Dave. Let me ask you this. Now that we're seeing the crumbling of the Warriors empire, the dynasty is over. Embarrassing loss to the Kings, which is fine.
Bye-bye, Warriors.
Okay. But let me ask you this. Like, you don't see that joy anymore. If you remember back to when that team was peaking, 2014, 15, 16, like that run they had, like, and it kept going. I think it even went back a little earlier and longer than that. But there was joy. They play with a joy that was unlike anything we'd ever seen in basketball.
Right.
And you see this like team and they're like falling apart. Just like, and I'm just like, we see the joy with the Thunder. And a lot of people, they don't get it. And that's when they're going to fall in love with this team. That's when they're going to freaking lose their fucking heads, is when they realize how much fun this team has.
I think we're starting to see it though. I think that I haven't been able to get onto an Oklahoma City Thunder podcast or, if it's Oklahoma City, JJ Redick's talking about Oklahoma City. I can't get over how many people are in the comments talking positive about this team. Yes, a lot of them are Oklahoma City Thunder fans, but there's a shift happening. And a lot of people remember how Oklahoma City Thunder were the favorite team in the NBA for so many years. And I think what's happening is that people have that nostalgic about that. Maybe it's going to be like that again. And then they see an after game interview and they're like, what's happening in Oklahoma City? Is it goofy? Hell yeah. Is it cheesy? Kind of, but it is so much fun to see how these guys are just getting into each other's statements and the way things are going. And I get so pumped on so many levels because this is not an ordinary team. I mean, on every level of watching this team, whether it's after the game interviews, whether it's pre-game interviews, whether it's, J-Dub or Shea standing up there thanking the crowd, getting them all hyped up before the last game. Like, there's so much stuff that this team does that makes this team so powerful and so fun to watch that as beginning fans, as people that have been fans since Oklahoma City, since the beginning, like, we have to be those ones that continue this love and making sure that when we see something negative, we pounce on it and we don't let those things pass because this team deserves it.
Yeah, dude. And yeah, those moments are special. I wonder how the team will handle, like, there is an increase in pressure. How will they handle the post-game interviews, things like that, where there are fun moments to be had. But in the end, this new experience that we're going to kind of go through together, as in the playoffs, is different.
So fun.
It's different. Like, and the longer it goes, the more attention like focus isn't like a laser right now. Like there's 20 teams left. Well, I'm sorry. There's 19 teams left. Okay. So it's not like it's really been whittled down any, but as this starts getting whittled down, the pressure mounts and the focus on the team comes out. But this team, to me, if I was looking for a team to cheer for, right, and I was a fan of basketball, but I was still looking, like this would be the team that you'd want to look at as the team to, you could cheer for a very long time. And as just as it just has the most fun, too, like you really can't explain how much it matters that you really don't know what you're going to get from one game to the next, but you know you're going to get some great basketball every single day.
That's it. I mean, like, it's not just good basketball. It's discipline. It's good offense. It's great defense. Like, how many times in the quote-unquote old NBA, the Steph Curry and LeBron James side era, that we wish that we could see hard physical defense? Like, we wish that we could have seen it during that time. I mean, we didn't see it. And in fact, it felt like as the years went on, they started getting away from the physical aspect of the game. Like, as an old school player, I appreciate that so much. And now seeing how the NBA lets things go so much now, I get that glimpse of, you know, 1990, you know, vibes of, like, I don't know, Knicks versus Miami Heat, you know, early 2000s. Like there's this sting in the air right now. And it's special, not just because, like, people say, well, this team is young and not physical enough. Well, I hear what you're saying. And there was a time that during the season that I felt this team's weakness was that we got outbullied, but things changed, and things changed so slightly for so long. We barely saw the change over the longevity of the season. Now we look at this team, and you cannot tell me in a straight face and say, this team is not the most physical team in the league, or at least the top five most physical team in the league. Look at what they do. Look at how they make contact. Look at how they make contact with the person with the ball out past the three-point line, how they bring the ball in, and there's always somebody in their hands, in their face, in their you know, groins, in their stomachs. Like, there's always something going down there that makes it difficult for these other players to understand. And if you see how the game is morphing, yes, offense is important. Yes, it's very important, but it's the efficient offense that's most important, which that's what we have. And then it's efficient offense to go with a highly intelligent defense. And guess what? That's the combination that we have, and we have so well. So how long can we hold this? How long can we do this until it's like, okay, the Oklahoma City Thunder can no longer do this? They can't hold this type up. Well, I say this, is that the Oklahoma City Thunder can continue to play this way until somebody gets injured. Is that not this season? Is it first round, second round? Is it Western Conference Finals? Is it the finals? Like, how far can we go before one of our main players get injured? And if that's the if we get to go to the finals without having anybody injured, that's what this top of the line, this peak that this could happen this year for this team. And so when we say that we wouldn't change anything from this team in the last episode, because we truly wouldn't. We want this team to develop slowly, right, Mark? And not rush it. We don't want to skim that fish across the pond. We want to go and enjoy the fight.
Yeah, dude, especially those little guys. You got to let them play a little bit. But, no, I mean, look, man, so what I really appreciate about this opportunity right now is that at this point in the season, it's a free roll. Obviously, you don't want to be the team that's number one and gets knocked out first round, but we could have found ourselves number three just as easy as we were number one. If sure. The other teams are really taking care of business, but like, I don't mind looking at this as like a free roll. I really like seeing the Lakers win and the Warriors lose. We probably would have been just fine against the Warriors, but I really prefer to play one of the two teams that we're going to get a chance to play against in the first round, which are a banged up Pelicans and a banged up Kings. Those are the two teams that we have a chance to play. So, you know, there's really no world in which I'd say one of those two teams was the favorite over a series. But I do think that it's going to be, you know, a knockdown, dragout war if you find yourself in a healthy Pelicans or a healthy Kings team, which I know that they won't get fully healthy with Malik Monk, or they're missing somebody else right now. But, you know, if Sabonis and Murray and Fox are healthy, I mean, that could be a complete battle. So who do you think will come out of that, the 7, well, the 8 seed, basically, that game?
Well, I have to look at who's going to be healthy, because Zion Williamson going down with a hamstring and not playing pretty much the last 4 minutes of the game. I mean, that's what made them lose. I mean, really, because no one could stop Zion Williamson. So if Zion comes out and he's ready to play, then we're I think that the Pelicans might be able to pull this off, because that free for all that Sacramento is in right now is kind of weird. So yes, they beat Golden State, but I mean, I think the Houston Rockets would have had a better chance at beating the Sacramento Kings than Golden State. So like, I'm looking at it like this, is that I think the Pelicans are a better rounded team at this point of the season than the Kings are. There's too many question marks in the Kings lineup and the Kings bench. And I don't know, dude. I would almost rather play the Kings, because I know that Chet can shut down Sabonis, and I know that we can shut down Fox and all that other stuff. But the reality is that if it's truly, if Pelicans are as banged up as they seem right now, I'd rather play them. And I don't know, CJ go off and have like 56 points or something like that and win. So that's what I would rather, is Pelicans at this point.
Let me ask you this, man. Do you think Joe Lacob still feels like the Warriors are light years ahead?
I think anybody that doesn't understand, let me throw this in the section that I'm thinking of right now. Okay. LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, Jason Tatum, Kawhi Leonard, Devin Booker, Drew Holiday, Anthony Davis, and Edwards, Bam, and Tyrese, bro. That's the state of the mind of the NBA right now, bro. Think that this is going to be the best lineup for the Team USA to win a gold medal. Like, that's how delusional the state of mind of the NBA is, and some of the people that are around the NBA. Grant Hill, Steve Kerr, motherfuckers, bro.
Like, honestly, they're taking the 10th seeded Warriors coach to, you know, like a team that he's coaching that has three future Hall of Famers. And I get it, they have other issues or whatever, but like the whole era of like Steve Kerr being the, you know, the modern face of the game is way over. And I understand you would want to put LeBron on that team. Sure, put Kevin Durant, put Steph Curry. That's what you want to do. But like filling out the rest of the roster with players that were peaking in 2017 makes no sense to me. I don't understand how you can look at this and say it makes sense to bring a team without Jalen Brunson. I think in my mind, he's unquestionably the best player in the United States, from the United States in the world right now. I mean, I guess that makes sense. From the United States in the league. So why are we sitting here looking at building a team without playing to our strengths? How do you add a guy like Anthony Davis, who is the second best player on the seventh seed, you know, in the West? How are you adding a guy like Devin Booker, who's the, you know, second best player on his team, you know, and you're not even looking at like some of the best players on some of the best teams that are currently playing in the league? Because you know why? Because it's a lifetime fucking achievement award. It doesn't really have anything to do with their current state of the game, which is a fucking travesty for all of Americans, man, who love the game of basketball.
So bad. Dude.
Fucking, they're fucking irresponsible. Steve Kerr and Grant Hill are fucking delusional, and they should be held fucking responsible when we fucking miss out on the podium game.
Grant Hill. Right, man. I wanna spell this out for everybody that doesn't remember Grant Hill's playing career. When I was in the 90s, Mark and I, my dad, our dad, he had this home run derby in Scranton, Pennsylvania, right? And Grant Hill was there, right? Because he was there issuing in a welcome to some of the new guys, whatever. Tiny Archibald, man. You remember what Tiny said about Grant Hill?
I don't.
The next greatest player in the NBA, this is Grant Hill. He's going to be that next greatest player in the NBA. So watching him pick this team, okay, Mr. Grant Hill, I hope you're listening to this because I really want you to understand this, is kind of like understanding Grant Hill's career. Like, it was almost the greatest career that could have ever happened. But you failed because your knees sucked balls, all right? Ankles. So you're falling to the same shit that happened to you in your playing career? Is it destroyed and dismantled your playing career? Is the knees. Now, you're failing at picking this team because you're depending on your knees when you should be depending on your brain, right? The first thing that should have happened, you should have fired Coach Kerr after this loss, right? And you should have hired Coach D, or you should have hired another young coach. And then you should have gone back to the playing field and saying, how should we draft this team to make it the most responsible and best team? Because at this point right now, we're going to get outcoached in the Olympics. We're going to get outplayed in the Olympics. It's going to be a cool thing. Hey, we're in the Paris Olympics. Click, 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 click. We're getting all this love and all that other shit. Shit, I don't care anymore. I'm so done with it, bro. Like, the NBA is fucked up with Grant Hill.
I'm actually happy, dude, because I would hate to see the Thunder young players get caught up in this prima donna bullshit. And it's going to be like a real shame for the league. I remember when that team went out and got like bronze or something and they had to send the redeem team out. You know what I mean? Like, in the end, like,
yeah,
this is going to be an issue. There are some good young players, but they really did not build this other than thinking about like, you know, who's been the best over their career. I mean, I know. And look, Ant was the best player they said in the last team. But Ant, I'm just like, if I was building it, dude, I would pick like, okay, you know, how do you want to play in the modern game? I think Jalen Brunson's game is a good type of game to build off of. Sure, you could pick Jason Tatum, but then you build the rest of the guys around them to complement it. But instead it was like, you know, this is, we want LeBron to have another run and Steph and KD. And okay, if those are guys are the legends, then what other legends do we want? Like, this is not the dream team, man. This team is going to be a flop and they're going to need another redeem team after this shit, dude. It's embarrassing.
Well, they might be able to pull it off, but they're going to have to lean heavily on a lot of players for extra minutes that they shouldn't have to lean on. Like, the whole point of watching the Olympics with Russ and KD and James Harden when they're young was the fact that they were out there balling their asses off. Like,
right. That's
the thing about it was they wanted it. It created a hungry environment. Now it's all about, like you said, it's all about achievement awards. It's all about popularity. It's all like, well, can we really start this without having LeBron? And you know what they should have done? You know what they should have fucking done? They should have sat down with a brand new coach, right? And Grant Hill, LeBron James, and KD and said, guys, we're going to build this team together. And no, you cannot grab your best friends. That's off limits. We're going to build this team together. Because the reality of the situation is it's despicable. Dude, who do we have on there that plays defense, man? Bam?
Yeah.
My point is that you built a team off of offense when the new way of playing is two-sided basketball, bro. And they built it off a bunch of old guys, and they're what, going to run zones all the time?
Dude, like,
be lazy on a defense?
They got one player from the best team in the East, none from the second best team in the East, none from the third best team in the East. I can't think of the fourth best team off the top of my head right now. But like in the West, they got none from the top in the West, none from the second best team in the West, one from the third best team in the West. I mean, like,
they left Murray. Well, Murray's a Canadian.
He'll play. Yeah. He'll play with Shea. Hopefully, I'd like to see that happen.
Canadians, but,
like, if you're talking about like teams that are favorites, dude. I mean, I know people will act like the U.S., but like, I'm not seeing this team come together as a cohesive unit in the amount of time. And I don't even think if they did, they have the skill sets that are necessary to play against the teams like Serbia that can just really move the ball and shoot the ball at all five positions and stretch you out further than you've ever been stretched. Like Jen and Jameson stretch so broad, it's crazy.
I know. Like, well, think about this. How do we even match up against Serbia? How do we even match up against Australia? How do we even match up against Canada? We are not playing the matchup game at this point.
No.
The USA basketball right now is in bad shape. That's why I'm so pumped about the Thunder, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. They'll come back. You know, you put guys like Chet and J-Dub out there, and you run them out like as the basis of a Team USA team, and you put a couple guys around them. But you've got to think, like, how do we build a team around, you know, somebody or a couple of types of players? Like, even Tyrese Halliburton is a good type of example. And then how do we complement those skill sets? And then you add the veterans in to say, okay, you can be the guide. But, you, I mean, they, yeah, dude, this is it's Grant Hill. Just blame Grant Hill, everybody. Then Steve Kerr, if you really want to blame somebody else. But that's it. Don't blame the players. It's not their fault. But everybody will. Nobody will remember Grant Hill did this. They'll always remember this embarrassment. Base it on the players. And that's not fair to the players because this is obviously somebody else's fault.
I think Coach K did it the best, bro. He realized that Grant Hill was going to fuck it up and he peaced out. So...
Dude, and so did Coach Pop, dude, okay. Hey, you know you're in a fucked up situation like, when you think this, the Colangelos dude. Are like fucking saviors, that's for sure.
Oh my gosh, dude. Well, we appreciate you guys.
See you next time. Thanks for joining us.
We'll talk to you guys soon. We're going to throw this up as a podcast. A bonus live? Motherfuckers. OSU, Trey Deuce, Fresler. Hotspot, Casino, Unk, Mawani, man, all you guys showing up. Loving it. There's so many more here. Dalo, Keelan, man, all you guys. We appreciate you guys. Alsambra is over there beginning. You guys are amazing. We will be back hopefully soon. We love you.